For a generation of people, really a generation of people that none of us can remember, there was a slogan that grew out of the experience of the present moment. Now, I know that Aneva's cousin Pat will feel this deeply as a Texan, but remember the Alamo. Now, for someone like Aneva and myself as millennials, we probably would resonate more with a famous line coming from James Earl Jones in Disney's The Lion King, "Remember who you are, Simba." It is this line, though, to remember that I've been thinking about. So, as we have been going through our series on baptism, we have considered Jesus' historical baptism, this way in which he sought to fulfill all righteousness, that is, this downward mobility of his kind of love that brought about the will of God in his life. We've looked at what it means to both enter into Jesus' story as an adult who is making the choice to enter into Christ's family. Marrying into his family is what we called it. Then there is being baptized as an infant, of being born into the family, somebody who has always had a promise spoken over our lives as a means of continuing this belief that we together are sharing in God's choice for us before we could ever do anything on our own to merit God's favor and love. But the fact of the matter is that whether we are marrying into the family or we were born into the family, we are members of one family. And we are called to remember what it means to belong as members of the one family founded in Jesus Christ our Lord. Regardless of whether we are Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, men or women, we all share in the identity of being claimed by the love of Christ. But what does it mean to remember such a wondrous and glorious choice to be included in the life of Christ? Well, this word remember, there's a power to it. We might think of it simply as, I forgot something and now I'm recalling it again. But it means more than that in the Jewish tradition and in the Christian faith as well. When I say the words, remember the Alamo, it's not simply go and look it up, but it's about go ahead and live your life in a way that follows suit with the example of the people who died there. Perhaps it has some meaning, a different kind of meaning for somebody from Texas. So you should go and talk with Pat after the sermon and see what he has to tell you about that. We are told in the book of Deuteronomy, in the second telling of the Ten Commandments, not only to remember that the Lord our God brought us out of the land of Egypt, but also to remember that we were slaves in the land of Egypt. And when we remember that, it's supposed to not only tell us something about who we were in the past, but who we are moving into the future. That we are people who have been freed by God, and therefore we are also to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And the reason why we are to keep it holy according to Deuteronomy is not only because of God's choice in creation to make a time when we can rest, but also because we need to give rest to all of the people within the land. We need to remember that we have labored and toiled, and that that is not the vision for life's flourishing that God desires for us. And so this act of remembering is not only telling us who we have been, but who we will be. It tells us who we are in the present, and that there are things that this requires of us. And so when we remember our baptism, it's not only that I want you to find one additional thing to busy your schedule by putting it on your calendar to look at year after year, but when we remember our baptism, we are making a bold claim about who we are within the family of God. That we stand as brothers and sisters with Jews and Gentiles, with slaves and free, with men and women, with barbarian, Scythian. That we stand in as a family, as Presbyterians, as Catholics, as Orthodox, as Lutherans, as Baptists, as Evangelicals. That we stand as a family, as members of Christ, with Democrats and Republicans, with progressives and conservatives, with people in the United States, with people in Mexico, with people in Ukraine and Russia and China. We are members of the family of God, and we do not have a choice to say, my baptism marks me off as somebody who is separate from you. Because in our baptisms, we are claimed as God's beloved. And all of the people who have shared in that baptism have heard that proclamation as well. So when we remember that we are baptized, it says something about who we are and who we are to become. When we look at the passage from Acts today, there are four markers that are given to the church as a means of remembering our baptism, not only once a year, but in daily practice. We are told that the church, after this mass baptism event, chose to gather regularly for the sake of receiving the apostles' teaching, for the sake of joining in fellowship, for the sake of breaking bread and being together in prayer. Now, as people who probably have spent quite a bit of time in the church, these may not sound all that impressive. They might sound a little humdrum and ordinary, perhaps even anticlimactic after all of the wonderful things that are reported on that first Pentecost. But I think it's fair to consider that when we as a people stop gathering around the words of the apostles, the message that has been handed down from Jesus, we will very quickly go off course. It will be difficult for us to hold together as a group if we aren't sharing regularly in the story of Jesus Christ and what he has done on our behalf. If we are forsaking meeting together in fellowship, then we will just go ahead and disintegrate into small little factions of people who organize around what makes us small rather than what makes us a unified family in the name of Christ. If we forego meeting around the breaking of the bread, by which I take the disciples to mean the joining around the Lord's Supper, then we will cease to enjoy that continuous act of grace that also is founded in Christ's death and his promise of resurrection. And if we cease to be a people of prayer, then we will stop being a people who are interested in both heaven and earth. And in our Lord's Prayer, we say on a weekly basis, or more regularly, hopefully, may your will be done on earth, in heaven. I can't jump right into the prayer. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your will be accomplished here, making heaven and earth more like one another. When we are remembering our baptisms, when we are entering into the kind of life that our baptisms demand that we live, we are going to be practicing these markers of the church. We are going to be remembering that we are no longer children under the custodian of the law, but rather we are supposed to be adults, that we're supposed to grow up into being people who are able to hold together in the midst of those disagreements of being Jew and Gentile, of slave and free, of male and female. We always are finding ways to break apart, to behave in the most immature, juvenile ways imaginable. Actually, that's a disservice to children. They're better at holding together than most of us adults are. And so we need to remember that we are being asked to grow up when we are baptized, that we aren't supposed to stay in a place of immaturity, but rather that we are being invited to be Christ's people. You have been baptized into Christ with one another. So let us remember the joy of what it means to be a part of this family. Let us revel in the fact that Christ has claimed us and invites us into the newness of life. Let us rejoice that our family is not one small thing, but rather is growing to include all of the peoples of the earth. Let us remember our baptisms and know that Christ allows for us to share in God's claim over him. You are God's beloved children. With you, God is well pleased. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Amen.